to our class this morning. We are glad that you're here. We're going to ask that you open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we will continue our study in 1 Corinthians this morning. And I trust, obviously, everybody got the note as far as changing the name of this room instead of the asterisk and then helpers of your joy. We now are back to what it was originally without the asterisk. So that's appreciate Ken and Dan's help on getting all that taken care of. We're going to be here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning, picking up at verse 17 and our study of the book of 1 Corinthians here. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. As we continue our study of the book of 1 Corinthians this morning, the thing that I'd like to emphasize and have you see from this passage is the clear contrast and comparison with God's wisdom as compared to the wisdom of men. If you'll look with me back at verse 17, I hope you noticed as we read down through the verses here how many times and how many different ways the Apostle Paul made reference to the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, and contrasting and comparing that. If you look at verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with, now there's the word, wisdom of words. And then you can see at verse 18, them that perish, foolishness. Verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22, you see, he says, the Greeks seek after wisdom, and so on. All the way down through this passage, and look at verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You look a little further ahead, chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It's pretty clear that all the way down through this passage, the Apostle Paul is comparing and contrasting the wisdom of God with the wisdom of men. At the very heart of it, the wisdom of God is Christ crucified. Both the power of God and the wisdom of God, that's a reference to Christ crucified. If you look at verse 24, 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, and then you see the power of God and the wisdom of God, in the context here, that is Christ crucified, the power of God, and Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. The power and wisdom of God are manifest, they're demonstrated, they are revealed in the preaching of the cross. Let me say that again. The power of God and the wisdom of God have been made known, are manifested, are revealed by the preaching of the cross. Christ crucified is the power of God. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. And the reason the Apostle Paul is emphasizing this at this point here, to start the book of Corinthians, remember the Corinthians had all kinds of spiritual and carnal problems, which carnal problems fundamentally are spiritual problems, but they had all kinds of problems going on at the local assembly at Corinth. And the absolute fundamental reason for the problems is that they were placing value and confidence in the wrong thing. They were placing value and confidence and trust in the wisdom of men instead of in the wisdom of God, specifically the preaching of the cross. Look at verse 17 again. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That is Paul's concern, and that is the statement of what was happening at Corinth. The cross of Christ, hence the power of God and the wisdom of God, the cross of Christ was being made of none effect by these false teachers at Corinth who were promoting wisdom of words, human wisdom about spiritual things. Now, I bet I've said that, but I don't know how many times, but I know if you've been listening to this series, I've said that a number of different times. And let me emphasize this again. When he talks in verse 17 about the wisdom of words, and all the way through the passage, the wisdom of this world, the last phrase in verse 20 as an example, the wisdom of this world, he's not talking about stuff like, physics and mathematics and, you know, and studying, the physical elements of the earth and how that, things like that. That's not what he was talking about, all right? The context is the wisdom of this world about spiritual, divine things. For example, once again, let me just very briefly review this, water baptism. The religious world has taken a religious view of water baptism, and their wisdom of words about something that's spiritual, something that is scriptural, something that is biblical, their words about water baptism, it was rendering the cross of Christ of none effect. And so, since the power of God to work in the life of a believer, and since the wisdom of God is manifest in the preaching of the cross, both those issues, the power of God and the wisdom of God, since they are manifest, made known, magnified, revealed in the preaching of the cross, that's why the Apostle Paul is so adamant here about lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We need to be on guard. We need to be careful. We need to be spiritually wise so that we do not allow ourselves to be overtaken by human viewpoint about spiritual things, and hence rendering the preaching of the cross of none effect. That's Paul's concern. You can see it very clearly at verse 17. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Listen, if the power of God to save a lost person, and if the power of God to sanctify a saint, if the wisdom of God to edify the believer, to enlighten the believer, to have the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, if the power and the wisdom of God is located, if it's found in the preaching of the cross, then you got to understand that Satan wants to veil the preaching of the cross. Satan wants to hide that. He wants to make it of no value. And you can see at verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what's it say there? Foolishness. He goes on to say down in verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews what? A stumbling block, and unto the Greeks what? Foolishness. You see, Satan understands that the power of God and the wisdom of God is found fundamentally in the preaching of the cross, that message that was committed to the Apostle Paul. He understands that. And hence, he wants to veil that. He wants to hide it. He wants to make that of none effect. And the way that he makes that of none effect is by promoting good words and fair speeches, promoting the wisdom of this world. Look again and think about these verses. Verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And Paul talks here about the preaching of the cross. Now understand something. He's not talking about the wood upon which Christ was crucified and the nails that held him suspended on that cross between heaven and earth. He's not talking about the physical torture that Christ went through as they beat him and whipped him and planted the crown of thorns upon his head. He's not talking about the physical aspects that happened at the cross there. Rather, he is talking about the spiritual things that happened at the cross that were invisible to physical sight. Let me try to say it a little bit of a different way. If you and I were actually 2,000 years ago, if you and I were Jews or Roman soldiers, and we were standing around the cross of Jesus Christ as he was hanging there, and we watched him die and so forth, even if we were physically there watching the physical event occur and happen, we still would not know the details of the preaching of the cross, what Paul calls the preaching of the cross. You and I today, because we have the complete Word of God, the complete revelation of the mystery, the complete Scripture, you and I today, by reading God's Word, by studying God's Word, and in particular Paul's epistles about the cross, you and I today have the capability to understand more and know more and perceive more and appreciate more about what happened at the cross and by the cross than anybody who was physically standing around the cross at the time that it occurred. You see, there were a lot of things that happened physically. Once again, when he was beat with rods and with whips and that crown of thorns placed upon his head and his body was ripped apart. And those are things that you should study about and learn and be intimately familiar with. And when he physically was nailed to that cross and physically suspended between heaven and earth. But you know what? There is a depth of wisdom and power that comes from understanding some spiritual things that happened at the cross that you only learn about in the written Word of God. So that once again, if you and I were physically standing around the cross at the time it happened, and if that's all that we had, You know what? We wouldn't know near what, nor the extent, nor the power, nor the wisdom that you and I now can know through the writings of the Apostle Paul, the actual written Word of God. You and I today can know and should know more about the preaching of the cross than if we physically were standing there watching it happen. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals to the Apostle Paul, and Paul in turn to you and me in his epistles here in the Word of God, some details about the events that happened at the cross, some spiritual things that happened at the cross that otherwise would be an absolute total impossibility to know. And that's what the Apostle Paul, that's why he's so concerned about this issue of wisdom of words rendering the cross of Christ of none effect. Now, having said that, when he says at verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God in my life and your life as believers is contained in the preaching of the cross. The power of God in my life and your life as believers, it's not in water baptism. It's not in religious deeds. It's not in what I can do. It's not in what I promise God I'll do better next time. It's not in giving money. You know what? It's in the preaching of the cross. The power of God to work in my life is in the preaching of the cross. Hence, what I need to do is not become more religious. Forget religion, friends. What I need to do is not go get baptized. That just gets me wet. What I need to do is continue to study ever more, growing deeper and deeper in an appreciation and an understanding of what happened at the cross. The preaching of the cross. Stay close to the cross. Stay focused on the cross. Stay with your mind and heart focused on the preaching of the cross. That's the power of God. The power of God to sanctify me as a believer. The power of God to equip me for the battle fundamentally is at the preaching of the cross and appreciation of that issue. Again, that's why Paul is so concerned with the Corinthians here. He wants them to grow, but they're not growing. They still are carnal, he says. He describes them that way in chapter number 3. And the reason is because they're looking to the wrong source for power to live the Christian life. Friends, if there's anything that we need to get out of these early chapters of 1 Corinthians, it is to absolutely abandon human wisdom and just come to the place where you love the Word and the words of God, where the preaching of the cross is where you stay. The preaching of the cross is where you find your comfort. The preaching of the cross is where you find your rest. The preaching of the cross is where you tap into for the strength, the empowerment to live the Christian life. He says at verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now he's going to go on here and explain how it is and why it is that the cross that Christ crucified is just simple foolishness to man. Look at what he says here, verse 19. He says, for it is written. Verse 19 is a follow-through thought with verse 18. See, the preaching of the cross is the power of God for something. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's what prophecy said. That's what the Old Testament said, predicted. And Paul goes back to the Old Testament prediction and points to the cross. Now let me come back to that in just a moment. Verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, what I want you to notice is this. Paul clearly goes and draws upon a couple of Old Testament passages of Scripture for the purpose of demonstrating that God has already made foolish the wisdom of this world. I want you to notice that. Look at verse 19 again. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's what the prophet said. That's what the prophet predicted would happen. And you know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Look at verse 20. Where is the scribe? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Now look at the next phrase. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Notice verse 20 is past tense. The last part of verse 20 is past tense. What prophecy indicated that God would do, and he ultimately will totally, completely eliminate his universe of the foolishness of man's wisdom. But Paul's point is the cross has already done that. The cross has already showed that man's wisdom is utter foolishness with God. Let me say it again. The cross, Christ crucified, has already demonstrated, as far as God is concerned, God doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, okay? As far as God is concerned, God has already demonstrated in the preaching of the cross that the wisdom of this world is absolute, total, pure foolishness. It's already done. See, the point in Paul going back to prophecy in verse 19 and 20 and saying, for it is written, I will destroy, is not to deny the idea that God is once and for all utterly going to destroy human wisdom out of his entire universe, such as in the second coming of Christ and the kingdom and so forth. But Paul's point of going to those passages is saying, you know what? The cross of Christ, Christ crucified, the preaching of the cross, Paul's ministry, has already demonstrated man's wisdom to be utter foolishness. The cross has already done that. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And Paul's saying, God has. I will bring up to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Paul is saying the preaching of the cross has already demonstrated that the understanding of the prudent is just vain. That the wisdom of this world is foolishness. And just like the prediction was, where is the wise? It's as though God, through Paul's ministry, shouts out to the world and says, okay, let your wise man step up to the plate and dispute with me at the preaching of the cross. Where is the scribe? Let your scribe step up to the plate. Where is the disputer of this world? It's as though God, through Paul, hurls this challenge out to the wisdom of this world and says, put forth your wise, put forth your scribe, put forth the one who is the most eloquent speaker that can convey the wisdom of this world, put him forth. And let's compare his answers with the preaching of the cross. Let's take the wisdom of the wise man and take his wisdom and his answers and his insight and put it up next to the preaching of the cross. And God says the preaching of the cross has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Friends, do you see the great... I mean, God is mocking them is what they're doing, what he's doing. God's just mocking these false teachers at Corinth. Look at the great contrast here. Look at verse 17 and in verse 20. Look at that. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. And in verse 20, last part, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, the wisdom of this world makes the cross of Christ of none effect, but verse 20, the cross of Christ proves the wisdom of this world is foolishness. See that? God says, if you want to see wisdom, if you want to understand and gain some wisdom, if you want power in your life as a believer, then you need to look to the right place. You need to come to the preaching of the cross. You need to abandon confidence in the wisdom of this world, because it's just total foolishness. If you look a little bit further ahead, look over to chapter number 3. Look over to chapter number 3. I love the way he says it here. Chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18 says this. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Those are just some of the most amazing verses and simple insights into God's thinking about the wisdom of the world and the invitation that God gives us to become involved in the wisdom of God. I love the way he says that. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, then you better become a fool. Just totally abandon human wisdom. See, in the world's viewpoint, if you abandon human wisdom, in their viewpoint, you've become a fool. But God says that's what you have to do, that you may be wise. Friends, you can't have both. You're either going to glory in man's wisdom and think God's wisdom is foolishness, or you're going to glory in God's wisdom and agree with God that man's wisdom is foolishness. There is absolutely no middle ground. You're either going to have confidence and trust and rest in man's wisdom, human viewpoint about spiritual things, and in so doing, think the preaching of the cross is foolishness, or you're going to rejoice in, rest in, have confidence in, find peace in the preaching of the cross, and look at man's wisdom for what it is that God says it is. It's just foolishness. You know, I remember talking with a guy, this is several months ago now, we were talking about some particular doctrines. Theological doctrines is what they were. They weren't scriptural doctrines. It was just a bunch of theology stuff and everything. And how this guy was just so overwhelmed and impressed with all this theology. This professor so-and-so says this, and Dr. so-and-so says this, and that school says this, and this author says that. And this guy had read all these books and was filled with all this theological stuff. And you know what, I just kept coming back to the verses. I don't care what all those people say and think. You and I need to be concerned with what God thinks. And as I talked with this man and thought about this situation, this is the exact verse that came to mind, and I mean, I shared these verses with him. He didn't like it. But let no man deceive himself. This guy was clearly deceived. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, if you think you're wise in the wisdom of this world, you know what? You better just abandon it. You better become a fool, at least a fool in the world's view, that you may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And that's the issue Paul's driving at here in these early chapters of Romans, these early chapters of 1 Corinthians. Go back with me then to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 here. Verse 18 again, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See that? You preach the cross. You have your confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. You rest in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You stay there. You rest there. You rejoice there. And you know what? The world thinks it's just foolishness. But unto us which are saved, you know what? It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And again, Paul's point is the cross demonstrates that that's already been done. The cross shows, proves, demonstrates that the wisdom of this world is absolute foolishness. Now, how does it do that? How does the preaching of the cross demonstrate and show that the wisdom of this world is foolishness? Well, it's really quite simple. It's real simple, it's really basic. And that's this. Fundamentally, the wisdom of this world says the way that man gets to God is by believing in Jesus and being good enough. As simple as you make it, the religion of this world, the wisdom of this world and its religious thinking says that man is basically good. He's just off track a little bit, and he just needs a little help. The man is basically sick, just needs a little medicine, and he'll get better. So you believe on Jesus, and you be a good person, you do good deeds, you live a good life, and then you're okay with God. That's fundamentally, and that's putting it real simple, what man's wisdom says. The preaching of the cross says, you're not sick, you're dead. The preaching of the cross is, you don't have some disease, you are a sinner. That's what the preaching of the cross says. The preaching of the cross says that you don't need help, you need life. The preaching of the cross says you can't never be good enough, you already deserve death. The only answer for death is life, and life is found in Christ. And the only way that you get that life is if you get to a bloody cross. I still remember how David said, what we're trying to do is get people to a bloody cross. The bloody cross of Jesus Christ. That blood shed there for every one of your sins. We got to get people to a bloody cross. They don't want to come to a bloody cross. Oh, they'll come to a nice, neat, clean cross. The religion is polished all up and everything. They'll come there all right. They don't want to come to a bloody cross. A bloody cross that says that you're sinful, you're wretched, you're without strength, you're an enemy of God, you're a child of disobedience, you're a child of wrath, you're disobedient, you're deceived, you're serving diverse lusts, envy, hateful, hating one another, and haters of God. That's what the preaching of the cross says. Whoa! Wait a minute, come on, John, lighten up a little bit, would you? Hey, I didn't write these verses, all right? People say, oh, you know, preacher, lighten up a little bit. Well, okay, I'll give you some human viewpoint. How's that going to help? No, you need something that really is going to help. The preaching of the cross says, you've sinned and you deserve to die. And the only answer for sin is death, and the only answer for death is life. And the only place to find life is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary where he shed his blood. Friends, it took the blood of Jesus Christ to provide salvation. It didn't take Jesus Christ just coming back and, you know, coming down and praying for everybody and saying, oh, you know, I hope you do better next time and everything, and I'm praying for you. No, ma'am, no, sir. He had to go to the cross. The perfect Son of God had to go to the cross, had to die my death and your death. That tells us how serious this issue is. That tells us that it's not about religion. It's not about being good enough. It's not about getting water baptized. It's not about promising God I'll do better next time. I'll turn over a new leaf and go for it. No, ma'am. No, sir. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, friends. It took Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood there under the wrath of Almighty God as he bore the full weight of the wrath of God due to my sin and your sin. Friends, when we lighten up sin, we're not doing anybody any justice, any favor. When we lighten up the message just because we're afraid of scaring somebody off, you know, friends, we're doing an absolute injustice to the preaching of the cross. The world says you can be good enough. The world says keep trying. Do this, do that, the other thing, and God will overlook your faults. Friends, no, He won't. He didn't overlook your faults when your faults were placed upon Jesus Christ. He didn't overlook your sin when your sin was placed on Jesus Christ. God's not going to overlook anybody's faults. No, ma'am. No, sir. He didn't overlook them when they were placed on His perfect Son. He dealt with them. The preaching of the cross says the sinner must die. Wrath must be executed. Justice must be satisfied. And praise God, that is exactly what happened at the cross. Go over with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3. Look what the Apostle Paul says here. Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 says this. For all have sinned. I'm at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. The blood shed at Calvary by Jesus Christ, Christ's work on the cross, Christ's sacrifice on the cross, was a propitiation. It was a propitiatory sacrifice. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He doesn't die as a martyr, friends. He died as a sacrifice. And I don't mean a sacrifice in the sense of, oh, the Romans got together and said, hey, let's sacrifice this guy to, or Israel got together. Listen, God is the one who set Him forth to be a propitiation. It took the blood of the holy, perfect, righteous Son of God to satisfy the justice of God and enable God, allow God to actually justify sinners. Friends, religion hates that. Religion hates the declaration that, you know what, you are a sinner, you deserve to go to hell. That's what, if God, in absolute righteousness, if God was to send you to hell, He would be absolutely just and right in doing so. Religion doesn't like to hear those kind of things. The world doesn't like to hear that kind of stuff. They say, oh, come on, you know, sweeten up the gospel a little bit. You're going to drive too many people away preaching that kind of stuff. You need to sugarcoat it and so forth so people will come and listen. That's not what the cross says, friends. The preaching of the cross, friends, it's a bloody cross. The Word of God describes, even the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was hanging on the cross, the Word of God says that His visage was marred more than the sons of men, more than any man. I mean, just if you and I would have looked at that, we'd have been actually just grossed out with what happened there at the cross. And Paul says, you know what? If you're going to get any effect, if you're going to get any power, if you're going to get any wisdom, you've got to understand what took place at the cross there. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He says at verse 18, the reason that the cross proves and shows the wisdom of this world is foolishness. It's real simple. The wisdom of this world says that you can be good enough. The cross of Christ says impossible. The wisdom of the world says turn over a new leaf. The preaching of the cross says you got to die. The wisdom of this world says, well, God will overlook your sin. The priest on the cross says, God didn't overlook your sin one moment, one split second. He poured out His wrath upon your sin and my sin on Jesus Christ. The cross, the preaching of the cross demonstrates that the wisdom of this world does not have the answers. You cannot find the answers in the wisdom of this world. You find the answers in the only solution that God put forth. The only solution that God put forth is Christ crucified. That's God's solution. That's God's answer. God's answer is Christ crucified. God says, you need power? Look at Christ crucified. You need wisdom? Look at Christ crucified. You need insight? Look at Christ crucified. You need understanding? Look at Christ crucified. Isn't that amazing how He just keeps doing that? Look at what He says at verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that... Don't you love that very last word there? Just to save them that believe. See how God makes it so simple? Here, God made... On the one hand, God made something impossible, and in doing so, He made something simple. Let me say it again. Verse 21. On the one hand, God made something completely, totally, and totally impossible, and in doing so, He made something completely, totally simple. Look at verse 21. Here's the impossible part. For after that, in the wisdom of God, so that's God's wisdom, then the world by wisdom, so there's the world's wisdom, knew not God. So in other words, God fixed it. In God's own wisdom, here's what He does. He makes it so that it is completely impossible for man, in man's own wisdom, to figure all this out. That's the impossible part. God, in His wisdom, He made something impossible, and in so doing, made something completely simple. In God's wisdom, God fixed it so that the world, by its wisdom, can never figure God out, could never figure the solution out. And in doing so, God says, you know what? I'm going to make it so simple. The wisdom is found in Christ crucified. World says, no, it can't be there. There's no wisdom there. God says, yep, that's where it's at. And if you'll just believe, then I'll save you. See that? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Then here's what God was pleased to do. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that. And here's the simplicity. Them that. Believe. See that? God in His wisdom makes, on the one hand, one thing completely impossible. Human wisdom as a source to find out God, that's impossible. And in doing so, He renders something else completely simple. He says, I'll save you if you just believe me. If you come and listen to the preaching of the cross, oh, I know it's foolishness. God says, I know that. Because I fixed it that way. I want it that way. If you listen to the preaching of the cross, and if you'll just believe, then I'll save you. That's a wonderful verse there. You kind of really see God's, in a sense, sense of humor in mocking the human wisdom. He says, for the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. See, they're all requiring and seeking the wrong thing. But here's what God does. Here's what Paul says we do, obviously this is what God doing. He says, but you know what we do? We just preach Christ crucified. That's what we're doing. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. They saw no value in a dead Jew hanging on a tree. In fact, they said, that guy's accursed of God. How can he be our help? He says, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. The Greeks said the same thing. How can that dead Jew hanging on a tree be any help to us? Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, and that's Christ crucified. Christ is the mighty working power of God. Christ crucified is the divine wisdom of God. You see, the wisdom of God and the power of God begins at the very place and is to be found at the very place that man, in his wisdom, says is utter foolishness and of no value. The cross is where we find. The preaching of the cross is where we find the mighty working power of God and the tremendous deep wisdom of God available to you and me today as believers. We're going to pick up here next time, friends.